Welcome. Today, we are opening up the files on Marvel's Wolverine. We're going through all the sources, the design docs, the narrative leaks, everything we could find.
And we're really trying to answer one big question.
Is this just another superhero game? Or is Insomniac really trying to do something revolutionary with a licensed title?
It's a huge distinction to make. And the consensus from all the material we've seen, it points to something fundamentally different.
Right.
They are not just trying to make Spider-Man with claws, not at all. They're aiming for something much more visceral, more character-driven. It's all about Logan's internal fight.
And that starts, it has to start, with the single most talked about detail, the M for mature rating.
Uh-huh.
Now, we've seen M-rated games before, of course, but the sources all suggest this isn't just, a cosmetic choice to add more blood.
No, it's the entire foundation. It's the design philosophy. For a character like Wolverine, a character defined by his lethality, mm-hmm. past games have always felt sanitized. You'd hit someone with these huge adamantium claws and they just, fall over uh-huh. with a little star over their head?
Yeah, exactly.
The M rating here is the permission slip. It's what lets them finally embrace who the character actually is. A killer. A killer trying to find some kind of peace.
That's a heavy concept. So how does that philosophy translate right away into the kind of game this is?
Well, what's fascinating is how the sources frame it. It's less a superhero game, in the traditional sense.
And more a character study.
Exactly. It's about the burden of all that violence. It's a deep dive into what it means to be a weapon.
A very tired, very cynical weapon.
A weary, cynical man who's lived way too long and seen way too much. The tone is apparently just gritty.
Yeah.
And the dialogue reflects that. Lots of profanity, the kind you'd expect from a guy who runs on pure frustrated aggression.
Okay, let's unpack that narrative setup. Insomniac made a very deliberate choice here. They're avoiding the big pitfall.
The tired origin story trope.
Yes. So where do we find Logan at the start of this thing?
We meet a seasoned Logan, an established Logan, and he is actively running away.
From the X-Men.
He's deliberately putting distance between himself and Xavier's school. He's isolating himself from all that responsibility, which, from a storytelling perspective, is brilliant. You get a character who's already conflicted, already in motion. No 3-hour exposition dump needed.
And his attempt to find isolation leads him straight into, chaos. Madripoor. For anyone who doesn't know, why is this location so important for the game's atmosphere?
Madripoor is just a perfect choice. It's the complete antithesis of the civilized world he's leaving behind. It's a fictional island city in Southeast Asia.
A lawless place.
Totally lawless. It's a haven for pirates, international criminals, outcasts. If Logan is trying to drown his better nature, he goes to the one place where his animal side just fits right in.
The sources really emphasize that visual contrast.
Oh, yeah. Neon-soaked streets right next to dense jungles. Total moral decay. It immediately signals to you, the player, that this is not going to be a clean trip across Manhattan.
He's trading the sterile safety of Xavier School for a literal pirate town.
It tells you everything about his headspace.
But if he's isolating, he still needs an emotional anchor, a counterweight. So how does Jean Grey fit in without it just becoming an old, tired romance plot?
And that's the balance Insomniac seems to be going for. Jean Grey is confirmed, and she has a pivotal role, but the sources stress she represents that responsibility, the family, the hope he's trying to run from.
So she's the counterpoint.
She is the crucial counterpoint to all the violence and cynicism. She's the human connection that grounds his brutality and reminds you what he's actually fighting for.
A necessary tether. Okay, antagonists. If Logan's running, who's chasing?
The Rogues Gallery seems to center on the perfect rival, physically and philosophically. Sabretooth.
Victor Creed.
And he's confirmed not just as some random boss fight, but as the primary antagonist's enforcer. If Logan's whole struggle is about suppressing that inner animal.
Sabretooth is the one who let it loose.
He's the dark mirror. The guy who embraced it all a long, long time ago. The tension is baked right in. But the sources hint at something much bigger than just a simple brawl between them.
And those hints point right back to his past.
Right back to Weapon X. The sources strongly suggest Viper Madam Hydra is involved, which immediately raises the stakes beyond just some criminal underworld stuff.
So the people who made him are coming back for him.
It points to this whole overarching plot where the remnants of the Weapon X program are trying to reclaim their asset. They didn't just let him go and forget about him. They want him back.
And if Weapon X is involved, you're not talking about street thugs. You're talking about targeted high-tech attacks.
Precisely. We're talking black ops teams trying to capture a moving target, which leads us directly into the combat.
That sets the stage perfectly. So the M rating informs the story, but how does it change the physical experience of playing as him? Insomniac's last hero could fly. This guy, he's heavy. How do you make us feel that?
You move from the speed and acrobatics of Spider-Man to the immense inertia of Wolverine. The core design principle is weight and momentum.
Right.
Logan is, canonically, he's short, he's dense, incredibly heavy because of the adamantium. The sources say the physics engine is built to make you feel every bit of that mass. Every impact, every strike carries this huge, bone-jarring inertia.
Which has to force a very aggressive playstyle. But wait, if you're that heavy, how do you stop from getting mobbed? Doesn't heavy sometimes just mean slow and clunky in action games?
That's the friction point. And that's where the M rating solves the problem. You fight with weight, but you survive through lethality. You don't need to be fast if you can end every threat almost instantly.
And that's where the procedural system comes in.
Procedural mesh slicing. That's the technical term. This isn't a pre-canned animation. The game engine is calculating the angle, the velocity, the force of every single claw strike in real time.
So if I swing horizontally across a guy's chest, the cut is based on that exact path.
Exactly that. And this allows for a kind of tactical precision that's only possible because of the M rating. On unarmored enemies, it means immediate, brutal results. You can sever an arm to disarm a gunman, or take out a leg to stop a heavy fighter in his tracks.
That is a game changer, just being able to remove the threat of a weapon instantly. But what about tougher enemies? Weapon X's own armored soldiers.
That's where the physics calculation changes. For armored enemies or robots, the sources really emphasize the feedback. You don't just bounce off.
No kink sound.
No. You see the metal denting, sparking, shredding dynamically. You have to literally work through their defense, which gives them a window to counter. It stops the combat from just being a simple slice and dice.
I love that detail about the metal shredding. It confirms your power, but forces you to commit. And that idea of commitment, that leads to defense. You said he has no shield.
His defense is his offense. Unlike, say, Kratos in God of War, using a shield to absorb hits, Logan's parry is about clashing adamantium claws against a blade.
An aggressive parry.
It's about violently breaking their guard. You use the impact to create an opening, not just to block damage. The game is constantly rewarding you for hyperaggression. The only way to survive is to be the most dangerous thing in the room.
Always pushing forward. And the game is relentless in showing you the cost of that aggression.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the biggest technical showstopper, real-time regeneration.
Yeah, this is so much more than a health bar in the corner. Logan's body is the UI. The designers want you to feel the reality of being shot or stabbed and then immediately see the miracle or maybe the curse of healing from it.
The sources break this down into four distinct layers of damage.
Yeah.
Four. That's an incredible level of detail.
It really is. The surface layers are clothing and skin. So you see realistic rips, tears, bruises. But under heavy fire, you get to the third layer, muscle.
So you see chunks of flesh just gone.
Gouged out, exposing the raw anatomy underneath.
And in the most critical state, you reach the fourth layer.
The skeleton. At critical health, you will see the glint of his adamantium ribs. Or even his skull. And seeing that, the indestructible core under all that ruined flesh, that's not just a cool technical trick. It fundamentally changes your psychological relationship with him.
It forces you to confront the cost of his immortality.
Right.
You see the pain before you see the recovery.
Yes. Instead of a health bar just quietly refilling, you are watching muscle fibers actively knit back together, skin closing over a wound in real time.
And the PS5's architecture is what makes that possible.
It has to be that fast. The high-speed SSD means the game can render this gruesome yet kind of beautiful biological process right in front of you without a single stutter. The healing is an active part of the gameplay.
And Insomniac is using the console's other features, the peripherals, to really hammer home that immersion. The DualSense controller.
The controller is absolutely essential. That iconic sound effect, the snicked.
Yeah.
It doesn't just come from your TV, it plays directly from the controller's speaker. It makes it feel like it's happening right there in your hands.
And the adaptive triggers are key for making that feel physical.
They simulate the resistance of the mechanism inside his arms. You squeeze the trigger, you feel this tension, and then a distinct tactile snap as the claws pop out.
It's a gesture, not a button press.
Turns it into a physical act? And then the haptic feedback differentiates impacts. That gives you crucial tactical info without you even needing to look.
So a slash through flesh feels different than hitting armor.
Absolutely genius design. You hit soft tissue, you get a smooth, subtle vibration. You slam into armor, and the controller gives you this jarring metallic rattle. That instant feedback is key to keeping up that hyper-aggressive combat flow.
This all sounds incredibly impressive technically, which leads us to the big structural choice.
Yeah.
A lot of fans probably expected a huge open-world sandbox game.
Right.
But the sources confirm that they went with a wide linear structure instead.
It was a very deliberate story-first decision. I mean, think about it. Logan isn't a character who's going to stop his personal mission to go collect 1,000 feathers. This wide linear structure, think The Last of Us Part 2 or God of War Ragnarok, it allows for these big, expansive areas to explore in Madripoor. But the main narrative is always tightly paced and controlled.
But does wide linear just feel like a nice way of saying less content? What's the real benefit for Wolverine?
The benefit is quality over quantity, especially when you're dealing with this level of visual fidelity. That linear focus guarantees that tight storytelling, and it lets them build these incredible, polished, cinematic set pieces.
Like the bar fight.
The insane bar fight, the motorcycle chase they've mentioned. You just can't maintain that level of polish and detail with the procedural slicing and regeneration in a full sandbox. It's too unpredictable.
So tight pacing lets them pour all their resources into those moments of visceral detail. How do we get around Madripoor when we aren't, you know, slicing things up?
Traversal really leans into his animal side. It's this heavy claw-assisted parkour using the adamantium to scale walls, but it also uses hunting mechanics. Yeah. Logan uses his enhanced senses. You'll be tracking thermal footprints or specific scents through the jungles and crowded city markets. It merges his fighting and tracking sides into one cohesive loop.
And to wrap up the tech side, it sounds like this is being positioned as a major showcase for the hardware.
It is the flagship title for the PS5 Pro. The sources are clear on that. The engine is leveraging all that new hardware. We're talking full path traced lighting.
Which, for a place like Madripoor, with all those neon streets.
It matters a lot. Path tracing means you get these hyper-realistic dynamic reflections on everything. The wet streets, the metallic armor, even puddles of, well, water mixed with blood. It creates this gorgeous, hyper-detailed backdrop that really emphasizes the grit.
And what about performance? That combat needs to be fluid.
They're targeting native 4K at 60 frames per second, and they're using Sony's own PSSR upscaling to make sure that even when the procedural combat is at its most chaotic, that frame rate never, ever drops. It's all about maintaining that heavy, lethal momentum.
So let's pull all this together. What our sources are suggesting is that this is way more than just Marvel flexing its IP.
Yeah.
Insomniac is moving from the grace of Spider-Man to something brutal, emotional, and technically uncompromising.
That's the core takeaway. Insomniac is explicitly aiming for the narrative depth of a game like The Last of Us, but filtered through the immediate visceral combat of a slasher film. Every single decision, from the M rating to the linear structure, it all serves that specific vision.
This really is shaping up to be a defining moment for licensed games.
I think it is. And for me, the most compelling part is how that commitment to showing the visual process of pain and recovery fundamentally changes how you interact with the character.
Yeah.
You, the player, you're constantly forced to internalize the cost of his healing factor. You see the damage, you feel the tension, and only then do you get that relief. It's a constant, visible struggle against death, even for a man who can't die.
Get ready for a bloody, beautiful, and deeply personal journey. If you own a PS5, especially the Pro, this is absolutely the one to watch in 2026.